Welcome back. As I mentioned earlier, the disability advocacy organization Paraquad has been around for four decades now and has been a pioneer in its field, dedicated to restoring and maintaining the dignity and independence of the disabled. Paraquad has a new executive director and CEO, Amy Waymire. She herself has been in a wheelchair since age four, and she joins me in studio to talk about her organization and how it's always looking ahead. Amy, so nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Congratulations on the new job. How long have you been in the job?
I started in January, so six months.
Well, what's taken us this long to get to you? I'm sorry that it has taken us so long. Tell us a little bit about how Paraquad helped and inspired you.
Well, you know, it's funny. Paraquad is really a leader in the disability movement. And I can remember reading about Paraquad in high school in my history book. So it's quite an honor to be representing the folks, people with disabilities in St. Louis as a leader of Paraquad. So a lot of, you know, you just talked to Colleen. Max Starkloff was an idol for me, and then to be following in his footsteps is quite an honor.
He was an idol to a lot of people in a lot of different ways. In as much as you yourself are disabled, I guess that gives you a really important perspective in this particular job.
It does. You know, I think about the mission of Centers for Independent Living, which is really to empower people with disabilities to live independently. And the story of Paraquad is really the story of my own life. I was born with muscular dystrophy, so I've never walked. And probably the most interesting thing is at 18, I was ready to go to college, and I left home, and I've been living and working independently ever since. So I believe in what we do because it is what I do.
This is really inspirational because this is exactly what you want people to know, and I assume younger people in particular, that life is not over, that you can live it and as fulfilling a life as anyone else.
Absolutely, and I think a great part of Centers for Independent Living that sets us apart from other organizations is really we're structured in a peer model. You know, we believe that people with disabilities are the best experts on empowering other people to live independently. So we use our own personal experiences to show others how they can be independent and be important people in the community. And, you know, for me, I really didn't know what the possibilities were. I didn't know what my life would look like as an adult. And I certainly didn't see myself sitting here talking to you. And so I think by giving folks the opportunity to work with others who've had success and who are independent, then they can be inspired to realize what they really can do.
There may be a lot of people out there, Amy, that look at the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act and figure, well, we've got all the avenues covered here. Everything is going to be fine. But there have to be challenges remaining. What are the challenges you see from your perspective in our community for the disabled?
Well, I think, you know, I came from a different community. I was in Columbia, Missouri for 24 years. And so that's a very, you know, it was very accessible. And so moving to a historic city presented some challenges, you know, in terms of accessibility. So I think physical accessibility is certainly an issue. I still say that the biggest barrier for people with disabilities is still attitudes and really low expectations. I shouldn't be an inspiration, nor should any person with a disability be an inspiration simply because they go to work. That should be an expectation. It should be expected that people can live in the community, can have families, can be employed, and can be valuable members of society. So really that attitude piece is big.
Well, and there's the other side of that coin, too, and that's the people who are not disabled and the expectations they have and the feelings they have and, quite frankly, some prejudices, I'm sure.
Sure, sure. And that's really what I'm talking about is the attitude and the low expectations. You know, I get a lot of notoriety because people, you know, again, they're not used to seeing someone with a disability, you know, involved in the, you know, Chamber of Commerce or involved in public service or involved in the community. And so people are sometimes inspired by that. And while that's a great avenue for me to educate and to sort of move forward people with disabilities, it's also a little disheartening because really you should expect to see me and lots of other people like me involved in being leaders in the community.
Let's talk a little bit about Paraquad.
Okay.
And speaking of education, not everyone knows exactly what you do, and you do a lot of different things. Give us kind of the overview of what Paraquad is up to.
Well, they do so many things. You know, we have so many programs and services. You know, all Centers for Independent Living, they have four core services. That is advocacy, independent living skills training, peer counseling, and information referral. And what makes us different, again, is really we're a grassroots advocacy organization. We're not a social service organization. So when a person comes in and wants to be independent, then we really work with that individual for them to determine what road they want to take for that independence. So some things that we do, we have Assistive Technology Center, which includes a health and wellness center. We do recycling and repair for wheelchairs and medical equipment. We have educational services that are continuing education and then also helping people get their GED. We have a wonderful employment program. I think Colleen really talked about the importance of employment, and really that piece is most important. If we want to change the future for people with disabilities, that has to be employment. And we also have personal care assistance services. We have a youth and family program. And then, of course, as a grassroots advocacy organization, we have a public policy program.
Let's talk for a moment about employment. This is something in which you'd have to work very closely with the business community, I'm sure. How responsive is our business community to the needs of the disabled and the need of them to have jobs?
You know, I think historically, I don't think there's been a tremendous response from the business community. I can say, just in my short time of being in St. Louis, that Paraquad has had a great relationship interacting with the community and with businesses to really help them understand and help them really be accessible for individuals with disabilities. We have a new program, which is called Accessible STL. And the whole purpose of that program is really to be a resource to the business community. We want people with disabilities employed in our community, being participating members. And we also want to help businesses provide goods and services to individuals with disabilities in the best way possible. So we want to be that resource to help give advice on accessibility, how to give education on, you know, how to interact with people with disabilities, and then how to provide opportunities for employment. So all those services are free and available to businesses to, again, help us be more involved.
If businesses haven't been as responsive as you would like them to be, why do you think that is? I mean, what is it that would hold them back?
You know, I think a lot of it is just really a lack of understanding, maybe even a fear. You know, sometimes you know, people get so caught up in laws and regulations and being afraid that they miss out on the human component, and they really miss the opportunity to, you know, to benefit from someone with a disability. You know, I didn't come from, I did come from another Center for Independent Living, but I spent 10 years before that working for a large insurance company. And so I really was the first person with a disability that worked in that environment. And so it was mutually beneficial to me and to a major, major corporation. And so I think there are lots of benefits that people with disabilities bring, but you just have to give them the opportunity.
Yeah, one of the things that I've heard over the years, and this would probably hurt someone like yourself, is the fact that businesses don't like to have someone with a disability up front out there that people can see because it makes other people uncomfortable.
Well, and that's why my face is on a billboard. you know, and I think, you know, and I think that's unfortunate. I think I think part of that is because people are not used to seeing individuals with disabilities in the front. You know, you're used to kind of hiding them away. And so I think one of my gifts and one of my purposes in life is really to help bridge that comfort level for people who are not disabled and to build relationships and to give them an opportunity to meet someone with a disability.
Did you hear the telephone call that we had in the earlier segment from the gentleman talking about the wheelchair?
I sure did.
Is there anything that you can say to him that would be helpful to him?
I think the same thing that Colleen said. I think contacting the local Center for Independent Living. I mean, I think another opportunity too would be to contact another doctor. If the if his wife is truly in need of a wheelchair and has that need, then another doctor should be able to write a prescription. Now that would certainly make the process complicated because the wheelchair is already ordered. So maybe that they return that wheelchair, do another order, and order a new one. So, but I think again, advocacy. That's a federally mandated core service that all centers provide, so they would certainly advocate in New York.
But in terms of Paraquad, with a problem like this, is Paraquad some place someone like, I think his name was John, could turn to get the kind of advice you just gave?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. We're a center for independent living, and that's really what we do. We take over 15,000 calls a year from people who have questions, you know, relating from everything from accessibility to problems with insurance companies, whatever that is. We are the disability experts.
How many disabled people are there in our area?
Well, I mean, the 1 in 5. So, that's the general statistic. I'm still learning a little bit about the St. Louis area, but about 1 in 5 people are disabled.
That holds true, I guess, nationwide.
Uh-huh.
That's about right.
Yep.
I want to get listeners into this conversation with Amy Waymire. She is the new CEO and executive director for Paraquad, about which we're talking on this program. If you'd like to talk to Amy and perhaps you have questions concerning what Paraquad does or related to disabilities, we'd love to have you at 382-8255. That's with a 314 area code, of course. That's 314-382-8255 or 382-TALK is one way to remember it. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. Well, I know Paraquad is not standing still, if you will, in terms of projects and what it's doing. And you've got a very interesting one coming up with regard to a new kind of center that you're thinking about. Tell us about that.
Right. We are in the, the beginning stages, the planning stages of building a fully accessible sports, recreation, health and wellness center. The whole purpose would be to create a facility that is usable for the whole community, so not just people with disabilities, but would have all of the equipment and accommodations that a person with a disability could use.
Such as? What kind of equipment are we talking about?
Well, like right now in our own health and wellness gym, we have accessible like equipment. You know, for example, I went there. I could use a little exercise, and so I learned how to use the arm bike. They had an arm bike that you can also put your legs in and do the leg bike. Now, I'm not the most fitness-oriented person, but a lot of times people with individuals with disabilities, they want to exercise, but then a lot of equipment is stationary. It has seats that are already, they're mounted seats that don't allow the flexibility for a person with a disability to utilize the equipment. Also, a lot of things are crowded, and they don't have the appropriate people to do the training and to assist people with disabilities. So the Sports and Recreation Center, we already have great partnerships with lots of the universities, and occupational therapists and physical therapists work directly with us and with our participants to create exercise programs that benefit individuals.
Now, is the center up and running now, or is it something that is projected?
The Health and Wellness Center we've had for years and years. Yeah. And the waiting list is tremendous. And so this is an opportunity to get people off the waiting list and then also to provide a resource to the community. It's going to have, a full-size regulation basketball courts. It's going to have banquet rooms and just opportunities for the whole community to benefit.
And when would that be actually? When would the rec center be available?
We're in, like I said, we're in the planning phase, so yeah. You will hear more over the next few months.
And this is St. Louis has many firsts when it comes to programs and for the disabled. This would really be kind of a national leader, as I understand it.
It is, when it happens. Yeah, it is. There are only, my understanding is, I believe there's only two other sort of fully accessible health and wellness and gyms in the United States. This one's a little bit different because it's not affiliated with a hospital or any kind of medical sort of model. And so it's truly something for the community. We're really excited about it. And we've already, we have partnerships with, one example I can think of is Disabled Athlete Sports Association. They spend the majority of their time trying to locate space so that people can participate in, in wheelchair events or different kind of events.
You're raising money for it?
We will be raising lots and lots of money for it. So, absolutely.
Well, we'll be watching for that. Let's go to the phones. A number of people want to talk to you, Amy. Let's begin with PJ calling from Kirkwood. PJ, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. And I basically have a question regarding my sister. She's a 55-year-old cerebral palsy individual, highly qualified, very intelligent lady. But unfortunately, she sits in an apartment unchallenged. And she has a lot to offer. I'd like to know what we can possibly do through Paraquad to help my sister. She's also just recently, has never walked a day in her life, but just had to have a hip replacement. And so the exercise and therapy programs would be very interesting, too, and I would appreciate your comment. Thank you.
Thank you. We would love the opportunity to meet with your sister. The number for Paraquad is 314-289-4200. And, you know, we have, like I said, we have an employment program, and it's a great program. So they do training and placements for individuals with disabilities. We also, like you mentioned, the Health and Wellness Center might be a good resource as well as a lot of, you know, again, we're one of our core pieces is peers. And so we have lots of support groups and just opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support each other and to interact and do socialization as well.
By the way, we'll put the numbers, both the number you just heard, 289-4200, on our website a little bit later in the day. And we'll also have the number that Colleen Starkloff was talking about in the earlier segment on our website, stlpublicradio.org. PJ, thanks for the call. Let's take another one. Teresa joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Teresa.
I have a handicapped bathroom. I have a handicapped room and bathroom. And the bathroom, when it was built, had no storage facilities, whatever. There's no medicine cabinet, no place for storage. And they finally put a shelf so that I'd have a place to put my toothbrush and so on. But the shower is, where the water comes down, is far away from the shower seat. And if I couldn't stand, I would not be able to use it if I had to have a wheelchair. And the wheelchair couldn't roll in there because there's a lip on the shower. And also, if you get it in there, you'd come out with the wheelchair all wet. And I just wonder about the ADA regulations for that, because they said it was ADA regulations.
Well, ADA doesn't really apply, you know, to homes. So that's a little bit, a little bit different. And, you know, home modifications are sort of interesting. I'm speaking for myself. I'm in the midst of renovating a home in Webster Groves. And so really what fits the needs for one individual may not fit the needs for another individual based on the level of disability and their individual needs. One thing that we do certainly do consultations. So if you need assistance with ideas of how to make your bathroom more accessible, Paraquad would certainly be a resource in helping you. Paraquad does a number of home modifications and builds ramps in the community. There is a waiting list like there is for many things, but again, I think we can definitely be a resource in coming up with some ideas that might work.
So give them a call, Teresa. Thank you for your call. Let's bring in Carol calling from Waterloo in Illinois. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi. I have two comments, if I could. My son was hit by a drunk driver, and he suffered brain damage, and he worked. Waterloo has a thing for disabled folks, and he worked there, and he would assemble home permanent kits. He helped assemble home permanent kits, and he made something like 43 cents a day. And one time, one of the kids that were there, he was disabled. I can't think of the type that it was, but anyway, he became very upset because he was having trouble on the line, and he threw his stuff down and he started yelling because he couldn't handle something. And one of the workers came up to the other worker and she said, "You don't have to put up with this stuff." And I think that's awful, because you do put up with it. That's what you're doing. And the other thing is, my son made a phone call to me one time. He dialed my number, and some man answered, and he said, "Can I talk to Mom?" And the man hung up on him, but I guess he had caller ID because he called back to my son, and he said, if that drunk calls this number again, I'm going to come up there and settle with him myself. That's all.
Thanks for the call. I guess this is reflective of the kind of things that can happen in this this world and this community. We thank you for your call, Carol. Let's bring in Fred calling from Glendale. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, hi, Don.
Hi.
I just wanted to give, first off, kudos to the city of Kirkwood for improving the circular path around Walker Lake and Kirkwood Park, which makes it supremely accessible for the disabled. And I'd also like to blow the trumpet for Variety and ask the lady from Paraquat if they have a professional relationship with Variety.
Variety. Do you know what Variety
I do know.
Variety in St. Louis. It provides equipment for disabled people from getting from point A to point B, essentially.
I certainly know who Variety is. You know, again, I'm here since January, so I don't personally have a relationship with Variety, but they are well-known in the community.
Oh, yes, I'm a donator.
Fred, thank you so much for the call. You know, you're moving to Webster. I guess you're living in Webster Groves, renovating there.
This weekend will be my move-in date.
Really? So. Well, he's from Kirkwood, and he's talking about Kirkwood. And you know, there's a great rivalry
between those two communities.
Webster will have to get on the stick with regard to the accessibility. Very quick call from Diane in Glendale to wrap this up. Diane, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Oh, fine. Thanks for having me. Amy, it's Diane Peters from Champ Dogs.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. I wanted to welcome you to St. Louis, officially.
Well,
so
I appreciate
that. You're
that.
A part of Paraquat now.
Well, thank you so much. Diane and I have gone back a few years working with service dogs. So great to hear your voice.
Yes, we'll have to get together.
Perfect.
I love your new plans for the Health and Wellness Center.
We're really, really excited about it.
That sounds like love to be a part of that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll keep in touch.
Diane,
thanks
for the call. We only have a few seconds left. I should point out that you have a service dog with you.
I do.
It's a standard poodle, and I have never seen a poodle as a service dog before, but I know that they are wonderful, wonderful animals, the poodle breed.
I love him. You know, I've never had a service dog before, and he is great. They're so smart. I will say poodles are so smart that they might have a little bit of ability to make some decisions for themselves. So, we're enjoying it. I'm still learning, and he's learning, too.
What sort of things does he help you with?
The primary thing that he does for me is I live independently, and so I use a power wheelchair, and if I drop my phone on the floor, I'm in pretty big trouble. So he does retrieve items for me and picks things up. You know, he can also push buttons, open doors, those kinds of things. But for me, picking up is the most important.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of standard poodles, and I think they're the smartest dogs in the world.
I love them.
Yeah, thank you, Amy, so much for being with us. Amy Waymeyer is the Paraquad CEO and Executive Director. Welcome to St. Louis belatedly, and I hope you have a long, fun stay here.
Thank you very much. I did want to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
Accessible STL Awards is our big gala event, and it's going to be held on November 14th at the Chase Park Plaza. And so this is an opportunity for businesses to be nominated for accessibility. So
folks,
wanted to point that out.
Folks can go to your website and find out
you
more,
got it.
I'm sure.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Join Jim Althoff tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk about Cinema St. Louis's Filmmakers Showcase, about Shakespeare St. Louis's season-opening production, and also with singer-songwriter Arthur Anthony Johnson. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about St. Louis's new effort to keep and attract immigrants. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Programs produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Hannah Durham, and Spencer Reed. Executive producers Robert Peterson. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.